are interested to become a member of GCF Nuvali and become a volunteer worker, so you are very much welcome. Join us on the first Saturday of August. So we thank the Lord for His faithfulness. Last week, we just celebrated Faithful at Four. Because of God's faithfulness, our response is that we will be faithful to Him. And because when we become faithful to Him, definitely we will be fruitful at five. So that is the goal, that we become fruitful at five. Fruitful when it comes to our maturity, spiritual maturity, and also when it comes to spiritual multiplication. I believe and we believe that if we will just be faithful to Him, then He will cause us to grow in depth and also in breadth. Now, when it comes to our series, Come Home series, based on the Minor Prophets, if you will notice that we're talking about God, what He is or who He is, and what He has done. It's all the attributes of God. In Hosea, we learn about His love. Joel, about His mercy. In Amos, about His justice. In the last 2 weeks, Nahum, we talk about that the Lord is good, that God is good. So it's all about God, because the Word of God, the Bible, it's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about God. So that is the goal. My prayer is that Sunday after Sunday, and even in your private moments, as you study the Word, as you read the Word, the goal is to fall in love with Him. Because remember, again, the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that is my prayer for GCF Nuvali, is that we will fall in love with God. We will fall in love with Jesus every day. Now, in Habakkuk, what we will learn in Habakkuk is that He is completely in control. He is completely in control. Now, before we go to Habakkuk, let me just share to you how the Lord is working in my life just this week. Last Monday, as I was doing my bank errands at BPI Westgrove, why am I going to Westgrove? Mas kaunti po kasi yung tao doon kumpara po doon sa BPI dito at sa ibang BPI po dito sa Santa Rosa. So natuklasan ko yun na mas kakaunti pala yung tao doon. So doon ako magpupunta ngayon tuwing meron akong kailangan bayaran sa BPI. So punta po akong BPI. So after doing my thing inside the BPI, went back to my car, and lo and behold, ayaw mag-start ng kotse. Ayaw niya. Sabi ko, perhaps it's just a battery. Tawag ako ngayon dahil napapanood ko yung commercial, di ba? Sabi, pag may problema sa battery, kanino ka tatawag? Motolite Delivery. So tawag ka. 3:30 p.m. I called Motolite Delivery. So I waited. Sabi nila, okay, sir, just wait for our call. Our rider will call back perhaps an hour. Just wait for him. Okay. Hintay ka. About 5 o'clock, tumawag naman. And then they said, sir, we will deliver your battery tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. I need it today. I'm not in my house, so I need it today. I'm here at a BPI Westgrove in Silang, Cavite. Okay? Ay, sir, kailangan bukas na eh. Kasi nakalabas na lahat yung rider. Ah, ganon, cancel it. Wag na lang. So I called Brother Mark Pantoja. I called because he's just living near the area. And I told him, at least you need to series, right, to jumpstart my battery. So he came in, di ba? Siniris niya na. Siyempre, binuksan yung whole series. After niyang masiris, diba, nakailimutan namin yung sus. Kasi it's raining eh. So, siyempre, kailangan ko isara lahat yung pintuan. Di, okay na, Pastor. Start na natin. Naiwan yung susi sa loob ng kotse. Nag-lock yung kotse. So, Lord, what am I going to do now? Yeah. Okay na nga na jumpstart yung battery, problema naman yung key. But the problem is, di ba yung lock, madali pagka yung paangat lang eh. Mga dating kotse, na problema nasa side eh. So mas mahirap ngayong gawa ng paraan, di ba, sa mga bukas kotse gang. Di ba, doon sinusundot lang, kinukuha paakat. Ito ngayon, nasa side. Kailangan kasi mahila niyang paganyan yung lock ngayon. So problema na naman ngayon, ang tagal namin doon. So while waiting, the good thing is that some of my friends are just near the area in SNR, I have heard that I'm somehow in trouble, so they came along. So while Brother Mark is doing his thing to open, to get the key inside the car, we went down around in South Forbes and buy a battery. So, long story short, nabuksan ang kotse, nabuksan everything. Problema ngayon yung alarm. Like, oh Lord, ba't naman ganito? Ba't ngayon pa? Ang dami kong gagawin throughout the week. Ayaw kasing mag-unlock. Naglalock lang, ayaw mag-unlock. So problema yun, hindi kasi tatakbo yung kotse eh. If you have an alarm, hindi siya talaga tatakbo. So ang ginawa na lang ni Brother Mark, dinisable. Tinanggal ngayon yung alarm para lang mag-start. Okay na, start. Monday, Tuesday, nagamit. Wednesday, we went to Ortigas. Okay pa siya. Wednesday afternoon, balik kami dito. Sinasabi ko sa asawa ko, bago kita ihatid doon sa tutorial mo, punta muna tayong SNR kasi I need to buy something for my sister. Birthday niya kasi. Sabi niya, doon yung gusto niya. Meron siyang gusto doon na kailangan kong bilhin lang. Kami doon, SNR. Okay, nakabili na. Saglit lang. Pag-click ulit nung start, ayaw na naman mag-start. Ano ba? Okay na yung battery. Ayaw na naman, Lord. Lord, where are you, Lord? I need you. And then, start ayaw, sabi ko sa asawa ko, tawagan mo na lang yung kasama mo, pasundo ka na lang dito, hindi na kita maihatid. Nasundo na siya. And again, I called Brother Mark. Brother Mark, ayaw mag-start ng kotse. And then I am just praying, Lord, please. And then all of a sudden, nag-start. Ako, okay na, Brother Mark, nag-start na yung kotse. Punta na ako dito, sa Sulinan. Dito lang ako, stop by. Wednesday night, okay siya, nakauwi, everything. Thursday, may meeting ako. Ayaw na naman mag-start ng kotse. Ano naman to, Lord? Buti na lang, malapit lang yung meeting place. Malapit lang doon sa amin. I can walk. I go, pare, kahit na medyo malayo yan, malalakad ko yan. Punta lang muna ako sa meeting. Pagbalik ko, tumawag na ako ng mekaniko. Then, from there, nalaman niya na ang problema yung starter. May problem na yung starter. And since walang mabili ng carbon, binuksan, carbon yung problema raw eh. Eh wala kami mahanap ng carbon, pinalitan yung buong starter. So we look for a surplus para palitan yung starter. Okay na ngayon siya. Naayos din yung lock. Diba? Thursday. Friday night. Nandito ako ngayon. I talk to some of the couples and then I do my readings. Around 11:30 p.m. pauwi na ako. Nandun ako sa parking lot ng Sulinad. Pag hit ko nung unlock, ayaw bumukas. Walang ilaw. Ayaw niya magalala ko. Lord, mag-iingay itong kotse. Pag binuksan ko to, pag pinilit ko, mag-iiskandalo to, lalapitan ako ng mga guards. Baka akala ko nung ginagawa ko dito. And then, I called again Brother Mark. Brother Mark, kailangan disable ulit yung alarm. May problema ako. Hindi ko mapapa-under to. Ayaw na namang gumana. Akala ko nagawa na yung pang-unlock. So, disable everything. Hanggang ngayon, walang lock yung kotse. So, why am I telling all of these things to you? I just want to show to you that not because I am a pastor, I don't go through troubles in life. That just, I know for some of you, it's just a minor thing, but it's just an example that even pastors go through troubles in life. Lord, sabi ko, Lord, ang dami kong gagawin this week. I have a speaking engagement Saturday at Silang Cavite. Okay lang naman, I can go commute, but Lord, alam niyo, kailangan ko yung kotse, especially this week, with all of the things, with all of the schedules that I have. Lord, why? Bakit naman ngayon pa naglolo tong car, tong kotse namin ngayon? And I think most of you, perhaps some of you also, have that question in life. Lord, why? With all of your, perhaps you are in this situation right now where you are asking God, Lord, where are you in this situation? Why are you allowing this thing to happen? Why are you allowing this thing to happen? In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, look at what Habakkuk said. But the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. The picture of that is that God is in control. Maybe sometimes we thought that He is so silent, but the truth is, He is completely in control. I saw a meme in christianbook.com and it says, I can rest in the fact that God is in control. Which means I can face things that are out of my control and not act out of control. Because again, church, the truth is, this is what we will learn this afternoon, that God is completely in control. I believe that one way or the other, whether you are rich or poor, man or woman, young or old, one way or the other, we experience or you will experience troubles in life that is way beyond our control. That is not a question of if, but it's when. But here's the question for us. What are we going to do when we face such challenges in life that is way beyond our control? Now, before we dive in to our passage, this afternoon. Let us watch this video in order for us to see the whole context of Habakkuk. Here's the video.
The book of the prophet Habakkuk. He lived during the final decades of Israel's southern kingdom, and it was a time of injustice and idolatry. He saw the rising threat of Babylon on the horizon, and that was not good news for anybody. But unlike the other prophets, Habakkuk does not accuse Israel. He doesn't even speak on God's behalf to the people. Rather, all of his words are addressed personally to God. And the book tells about Habakkuk's personal struggle, his journey of trying to believe that God is good when there is so much evil and tragedy in the world. And so Habakkuk's words are actually poems of lament, and they're very similar to the laments that you find in the book of Psalms. The poet lodges a complaint and then draws God's attention to suffering or injustice in the world, demanding that God do something. And knowing about this lament form, it's actually the key to understanding the design and message of this short book. Chapters 1 and 2 are framed as a back-and-forth argument between Habakkuk and God. And the prophet lodges two complaints to which God offers two responses. His first complaint is that life in Israel has become horrible. The Torah is neglected, resulting in violence and injustice, and it's all being tolerated by Israel's corrupt leaders. And Habakkuk, he's crying out, asking God to do something, but nothing seems to change. But then all of a sudden, God responds. He says that he's very aware of the corruption of his own people, Israel, and that he's summoning the armies of Babylon to bring down his justice on Israel. And very similar to the message of Micah or Isaiah, God says he will use this terrifying empire to devour Israel because of their injustice and evil. But Habakkuk has a problem with this answer, and so he offers his second complaint. He says Babylon is even worse than Israel. They're more corrupt, they're more violent, they've deified their own military power, they treat humans like animals, gathering them up like fish in a net, he says. They devour nations and people groups in order to build their own empire. And so Habakkuk says, how can you, a holy, good God, use such corrupt nations as your instruments in history? He demands an explanation. In fact, he depicts himself as a watchman on the city walls waiting for God's response, which eventually comes. God tells Habakkuk to get out some tablets and chisel and write down what he sees and hears. It's a vision about an appointed time in the future, that even though it may seem slow in coming, it will eventually come. In fact, God says that the righteous person will live by their faith in this hope and vision. So what is this divine promise that Habakkuk is supposed to write down? It's that God will bring Babylon down. God says that the violence and oppression of the nations creates this never-ending cycle of revenge, and that God will use this cycle to bring about the rise and fall of nations. And the fact that God might, for a time, use a corrupt nation like Babylon does not mean that he endorses everything that they do. He holds all nations accountable to his justice, and so Babylon will fall along with any other nation that acts like them. God's promise is then elaborated by a series of five woes that describe the kinds of oppression and injustice that's perpetrated by nations like Babylon. The first two target unjust economic practices, like how wealthy people will charge ridiculous interest just to keep poor people in debt, and so they build their wealth through crooked means. The third woe is a critique of slave labor, treating humans like animals and threatening them with violence if they don't produce. The fourth woe targets the abuse of alcohol by irresponsible leaders. While people are suffering under their bad leadership, they're partying and wasting their money on sex and booze. And the last woe exposes idolatry, the engine that drives such nations. They have made money and power and national security into their gods, offering these allegiance at all costs. And so people become slaves to their own national empire. Now, the practices described here aren't unique to Babylon, but that's part of the point. Given the human condition, most nations eventually become Babylon. And so this is how God's answer to Habakkuk in this book becomes God's answer to all later generations, to anyone who lives in a world ruled by other Babylons. But it leaves the question hanging. Is God going to let this cycle, the rise and fall of Babylon-like empires, go on forever? And that question is what chapter 3 is about. We're told that this is a prayer of Habakkuk, and it begins by Habakkuk pleading with God to act now in the present like he has in the past, in bringing down corrupt nations. And what follows is a very ancient poem. It first describes a powerful, terrifying appearance of God. It's very similar to the opening poems of Micah and Nahum, and similar to the appearance of God at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. There's cloud and fire and earthquake. When the Creator shows up to confront human evil, everybody will be paying attention. Habakkuk then goes on to describe this as a future exodus. So just like God came as a warrior and he split the sea in his battle against Pharaoh, Habakkuk says that God will once more bring his judgment down on the head of the evil house. So Pharaoh, like Babylon, has become here an archetype of violent human nations. But at the same time, we're told that when God confronts evil, he will save his people and his anointed one. It's a reference to the king from the line of David. And so in this poem, the Exodus story of the past has become an image of the future Exodus God will perform. He will once again defeat evil and bring down the Pharaohs and the Babylons of this world. He'll bring justice to all people and rescue the oppressed and the innocent. And it's this hope that enables Habakkuk to conclude the book with hopeful praise. Even if the world's falling apart with food shortage or drought or war or whatever, he will choose trust and joy in the covenant promises of God. And so Habakkuk, by the end of this book, becomes a shining example of how the righteous live by faith. Habakkuk recognizes just how dark and chaotic the world and our lives can become, and he invites us into a journey of faith, of trusting that God loves this world more than we do, and that he will one day deal with its evil. And that's what the book of Habakkuk is all about.
Father, once again, Lord, we ask for your Spirit to be with us this afternoon. Lord, open our minds and our hearts in order for us to understand what does it mean to live by faith. Lord, help us to also see that you are completely in control. Lord, perhaps we are not in control of our situation right now, but the truth is you are completely in control. So, Lord, may we teach us, Lord, encourage us today through your word to live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, just open it in the book of Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith." I think perhaps some of you are familiar with that phrase, "the righteous shall live by faith," because the Apostle Paul used that phrase twice. In the book of Romans, he said, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And in the book of Galatians, it says, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." Now, obviously, in the Pauline epistle, or based on Paul's letter to the Romans and to the Galatians, it has something to do with what we call eternal salvation. He is talking about our faith in Christ for to save us from the penalty of sin. But what about in the context of Habakkuk? What does he mean by "the righteous shall live by faith"? What does the word "faith" means in the book of Habakkuk? This is the meaning of that word "faith." The righteous shall live by faith. It means being loyal to God, okay? Being loyal to God and obedient to his law, even when outward circumstances make it difficult. So meaning, even if there's all these troubles in life, in the outward circumstances, we need to remain loyal to him. Because the truth is, there are times that even if we ask him, even we ask God, "Lord, why? Why are you allowing this thing to happen?" Sometimes he will answer you, sometimes he will not. Now, I remember a story because of this thing that if we keep on asking and we don't have answer, that's very dangerous. Because according to Dr. James Dobson, he has this story. He said, there was a man who was condemned to a solitary confinement in a pitch black cell. So try to imagine, there's a pitch black cell. And this, the only thing that this man has was a marble. And he will see, what he will do is he will just throw it repeatedly against the wall, and he will just listen as the marble goes around, and then he will grope in the dark to find again his marble, and then he will again throw it against the wall, and then he will grope again in the dark to just to find his marble. Then one day, the prisoner, okay, he threw his marble upward. Now, after he threw his marble upward, it failed to come down. So he was so puzzled. Why? It seems that the marble was, quote-unquote, evaporated. So he was asking himself, why? Where's the marble? You know what happened to him? According to Dr. James Dobson, finally he went berserk. He pulled out all his hair and he died because he has no answer to his question. So then the prison officials came to remove his body, and then the guard noticed something caught in a huge spider's web in the upper corner of the room. And even the guard, he said, that's strange. I wonder how a marble got up here at the roof, because there was a spider web. So what's the moral lesson there? Our minds are limited. It's just limited. Sometimes we do not have answers to our question. So the danger is that if we keep on asking, if we keep on looking for answer, the danger is we might go berserk. And that's not what I want for you, GCF Nuvali, to go berserk and just eventually die because of mental illness. Remember, the Bible says, the righteous shall live by faith. And here's the encouragement. If we have questions in life, why, Lord? The hard question in life, why? Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden. And what did he say? I will give you, I will give you all the answers to your questions. No? Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. So that is the encouragement. And here's the lesson for us. To borrow from the words of Dr. James Dobson, here's the lesson of Habakkuk. God makes sense even when he doesn't make sense. It is just in our perspective that he doesn't make sense. But definitely, God makes sense. So let's see the problem of Habakkuk. Here's the problem. Look at his question to God. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you will not hear. So it seems that God is silent. Cry to you, I cry to you violence and you will not save. Why do you allow me to see all of this iniquity? Lord, can't you see the injustice that is happening in our land? Where are you, Lord? That is the question of Habakkuk. It seems God is silent in the midst of injustice that is happening. His law was paralyzed. That is the question of Habakkuk. It seems, Lord, you are allowing these people to paralyze your law. Where are you, Lord? Why are you allowing this thing to happen? Now, I just heard last Wednesday over the news, have you heard the Bulacan massacre? It's the news, right? So last Wednesday, yung suspect umamin, he said he's into drugs, and then later on he recanted his testimony that he was not into drugs. Sabi niya, pinilit lang siya ng mga pulis na sabihin yun. But one of his companion in this Bulacan massacre was also found dead. Injustice, Lord, but ganon. Yes, I know that they are suspect, but there is justice. We have justice. We have law in our land. But Lord, what's happening in the Philippines? And just before we celebrate our anniversary, I think two weeks ago, someone reported to me that there was a murder in one of the exclusive villages near Nuvali. Come to think of it, gated subdivision. Very exclusive. There was a murder. And to tell you, some of our attendees and members live in that subdivision. There was murder. There was injustice in land. Justice means doing what is right. So injustice, they are not doing what is right. So Lord, why? Why are you allowing this thing to happen? It is as if you can see what is happening around us. So that is also the dilemma of Habakkuk. And look at his reason. Why did he question God? It's the puzzling conflict in all of these things. In Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 4b, he said, for the wicked, because the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. In our perspective, The reason why sometimes we think that God is silent is because we see that the bad overcomes the good. So that's the conflict inside. Lord, why? Why are you allowing all of these things? Sometimes, even in our lives, we are overwhelmed by the bad things. There is this saying, when it rains, it pours. So is true in life. Loss of a job, business not doing well, then here comes a threatening disease or threatening illness. Or worse, death of a loved one. Why, Lord? Minsan may tanong tayong ganyan, Lord, bakit naman siya pa? Why, Lord? Why? And where are you in all of these things? Where are you, Lord, when I needed you the most? Where are you? This is the real question in life. Allow me also to share to you a true story. This is a friend of mine. He's a pastor. And the Lord has given him these three wonderful opportunities. One is to pursue his education, to have a doctoral in the ministry, doctor of ministry. Second is to oversee three churches in Cavite area. And then the other opportunity is to pastor GCF Naga, or Green Hills Christian Fellowship in Naga. So he chose GCF Naga. And then I asked him, why did you chose GCF Naga? Because he said, I am from Bicol. So that's the obvious reason. Okay, that's why he chose GCF Naga. So he went there, and then he had some preaching, talked to the leaders, and somehow they agreed to one another in principle. It's already okay. He is ready to pastor GCF Naga. So he went home in Quezon City. That night, his wife asked him, go see a doctor because you look pale. Okay. Parang sa kanya, parang okay lang eh. But you look pale. Okay. So he went to see a doctor, had some tests, blood chem. And as he was waiting, and then the doctor came, and then the doctor said, I need to confine you. Why? No. Because both of your kidneys has already failed. It's a very devastating news. It's a very devastating news. Sa atin kaya, di ba? Sabihin kaya yan ng doctor. Both of you, hindi yung isa lang eh. Both of your kidneys already failed. So I need to confine you and do dialysis. So for him, he said, I really question God. He said, I really question him. Why, Lord? Why did you allow me to see all of these opportunities and then here you are allowing this thing to happen? Kidney failure. Both kidneys. Why, Lord? That is really the hard question in life, because perhaps some of you are here and you have this answer, you have this question in life. Why, Lord? Why? You are asking God, why, Lord? Why did you allow this thing to happen in my life? Why are you so silent in the midst of my difficulties? This is the question of Habakkuk. And this is still our question today. Look at the answer of God to his question. He said in verse 5, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. Look at what he said. Okay? In verse 6, or in verse 5, for I am doing a work in your days. So God is not really silent, because he said, I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. That's the problem. Habakkuk, kung sabihin ko lang sa ito, kung ginagawa ko, baka hindi ka makapaniwala. Why? Because look at that, what he said. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians. And look at the description of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. That bitter and hasty nation. I am raising up the Babylonians as an answer to your problem. So Habakkuk said, what? I know that Judah is corrupt, but here's Babylon's much worse than Judah, and you will use Babylon to correct Judah? And we all know that it really did happen around 586 BC, wherein the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom or Judah. But the thing is, God is at work. In the midst of this silence, God is at work. Yes, sometimes it might be puzzling for us. And it's also, and somehow Habakkuk was puzzled about it, because in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12, he said he again questioned the Lord, "Lord, are you not from everlasting? You are from everlasting to everlasting. Are you not the Holy One, and you will allow this, all of this thing to happen?" But in the end, again in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, he said, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Because God is in control. God is in control. He is ready to act. He is actually at work. Even if sometimes we feel that he is so silent, but he is at work. So one thing that I learned from, I'm going to share this to you, what I learned from IDMC Singapore, or Intentional Disciple Making Conference, is this. God's will is totally sovereign. Gloriously redemptive, sometimes puzzling. Let me tell you, it's really some. It's not. Hindi lang siguro minsan sometimes, di ba? It's really puzzling, but always, always perfect. He is always perfect. So what is important is that when God seems to be silent, rest assured that He is at work. He is at work, and He is completely in control. God is in control of our situation. Now, because God is in control, what would be our response? Look at the response of Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 3. He said, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive oil and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." Actually, this is a poem. But this poem looks like gloomy, right? It's a gloomy situation. So the picture there is that when God doesn't make sense, when God doesn't make sense, okay? Look at the response of Habakkuk. Look at what he said. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Remember, the righteous shall live by faith. He will remain loyal to him. No matter what the circumstances are, he will remain loyal to him. And that is also our action point. We need to trust God. To rejoice, it means to triumph. Our victory is in God. We will not rejoice in our circumstances, but rather we rejoice in the Lord. Trust him, because he is completely in control. Even if sometimes, "Lord, where are you? I don't see you. I don't feel you." But the truth is, God is in control. Trust him. Trust him. What can we learn from this? God is always present and involved in our lives, even when he seems to be silent. Let me tell you this. Jesus said, here's the promise of Jesus, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So when we are asking him, "Lord, where are you?" He is right there beside you. Because that is his promise. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He is always present by your side. By your side. And someone has said, with God, even when nothing is happening, something is happening. Meaning, God is always at work, even if sometimes we don't see his hands. Even if sometimes we don't see his plans. Just like what the song said. Sometimes we cannot trace his hands, but we can trust his heart. Trust him. Trust him. Second is that God is always on time, even when it seems he is late. The problem nowadays is that we are living in an instant world. Instant coffee, instant food, instant money over ATM. We always want an instant solution. But God doesn't operate that way. But let me tell you, his timing is always perfect. His timing is always perfect. Rejoice in the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Rejoice upon him. Because he lavishes his love on us. Even sometimes we feel that, "Lord, it seems that you don't care anymore." But let me tell you, he still lavishes his love on us. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. But we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. What is the reason for all of these things, even if we have sufferings? He said, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Remember the story a while ago? A pastor who has failed kidneys. Where are he? What happened to him? In God's perfect timing, he went through transplant. And we know the cost of kidney transplant, because his sister donated one kidney to him. They had a transplant, but this is the amazing thing here. When it's about time for them to get the bill, they're expecting millions, and they are already expecting to write a promissory note. They don't know how to pay, but they will just write a promissory note. The bill, it says, zero balance. They were so amazed. Balik pa sila, baka po nagkakamali kayo. Zero balance. Of course, it's through the Lord, He uses His people to pay. But until now, they don't know who are these people who paid their bills at the hospital. And right now, he has this radio program at 702 DZAS. For those of you who know DZAS, it's 702. Every Tuesday and Thursdays around 7 p.m. entitled Kaliwanagan Kay Kristo. His name is Pastor John Pesebre. So look at how the Lord works in his life. Hindi lang siya sa GCF Naga. He now reaches more people than not just in Naga, because of his radio program in 702 DZAS. God's timing is always perfect. At first, it was a puzzling situation for him. Lord, why? But now he knows that God will be glorified through his situation. And even now he has a radio program. Who would have thought? He said, who would have thought that I will be in a radio to teach people, even though hindi niya nakikita nga lang, mas malaki yung reach kaysa yung nasa isang local church lang siya. That is how God works. That is how God works. Because here's His promise, church. If we will just trust Him, even if we don't understand what is happening, just trust Him. Because here's the promise. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, it says here, God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Meaning God will be the source of our strength. So therefore, we will be able to persevere. In all of these sufferings, we will be able to persevere. Why? Because of the strength of God. He will strengthen us. And look at the picture here. It's a poem. He said, He makes my feet like deer's. Because when the deer, when he's being hunted by the predator, he will swiftly go up to the mountain. And that's a safe place. Meaning, God will see us through. If we will just trust Him, the promise is God will see you through in your circumstances. Just trust Him. Again, sometimes He will answer us, sometimes He will not answer us. But He is sovereign. He is completely in control. Just trust Him. In your current situation right now, trust Him. Because the promise is, He will see you through. Trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord God, for the encouragement of Your word. Lord, that sometimes, yes, we have questions. Why? Where are You, Lord? But Lord, now that we know based on Your word that we will just trust You. We will just trust You. We will just remain loyal to You, Lord. No matter what is happening around us, the outside circumstances in our life, we will just remain loyal to You. The righteous shall live by faith. We will just trust You, Lord God, with our situation, because we know that one day, You will see us through. You will see us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.